I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Jim Palmer. Jim is a marketing and business building expert and in-demand coach. He's the founder of the Dream Business Academy and Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. Jim is also the host of Dream Business Coach TV, the hit weekly web TV show watched by thousands of entrepreneurs and small business owners. He's also the host of Stick Like Glue Radio, a weekly podcast based on Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building strategies. Jim is known internationally as the creator of No Hassle Newsletters, the ultimate done-for-you newsletter marketing system used by hundreds of clients in 9 countries. Jim, welcome to the show.
David, thanks for having me on. It's a real pleasure.
Pleasure to have you. And I know you have a great background in all things business, particularly marketing. And one of the things that I've noticed in preparing for today's show is in your book, Decide, the Ultimate Success Trigger, you write about the benefits of mastermind groups. And I wondered if you could share a little bit of that.
Yeah, masterminding is definitely one of the key elements of creating more entrepreneurial success. You know, it's been said that being an entrepreneur is one of the loneliest jobs on the planet because really, unless you're growing a huge company with a, you know, multi-layers of staff, most entrepreneurs by and large work by themselves. And so where do you go when you are the top dog in the company, you're the founder of your own corporation? And so where do you go for advice? You know, David, when a lot of people start, and speaking of plateaus, they reach a certain point because really the basis of every entrepreneurial business is somebody has a skill or a talent or something that they actually turn into a business. They get a client, maybe they get 2, 3, 4. Anyway, once cash flow kicks in, that makes it a real business, and they grow to a certain point still doing what it is, that what I'll call the deliverable of their business, but they also now have to be the accountant and their attorney and their creator and their trash taker outer and all that. So it's, you know, the chief cook and bottle syndrome. And there is a point in the life of every entrepreneur where they have to make a decision if they're going to begin getting help and outsourcing. Now that's just in the running of the business, but really what where a lot of people reach their initial plateau, and sometimes it's like, you know, they can't get to six figures or beyond, is that they need to, you know, tap into the expertise of other people. And they think, well, I'm the owner, I'm the smart guy, I'm the smart gal, I'm the one that started the business. But one of the great, great powers of being in a mastermind is taking one idea and having it, by the time you go around the table or the group or the phone line, as I do, I run a virtual mastermind, you know, that idea has now been, you know, spun up in such a way that it's like even more powerful than the original idea. So it really is, you can tap into the equivalent of several smart people as first learned by, you know, the people who started the first mastermind. Was it Harvey Firestone and Henry Ford and so many others, non-competing businessmen that were comparing notes.
Yeah, and I think it's really natural for us as human beings to compare notes with other people, particularly other people that we know and trust.
Trust is a huge part of the mastermind, and you know, I actually make the people in my group, you know, pledge of confidentiality, because the more tight and cohesive the group is, and most of my people have been in my group for many years, that more the more people are willing to open up and share. You know, it's like if you go to a networking event and you just meet, hey, how's it going? Hey, things are great. You know, behind the scenes, you haven't been paid in 2 months, and you know, there's all these problems. But once you start getting trust and there's some familiarity and people are getting to know each other, and you start recognize this phenomenon known as, oh, I'm not the only one experiencing that, or I'm not the only one going through that. Oh, that's a great idea. I didn't know that even existed. That's cool. So that's the kind of thing that happens when you're part of a dynamic mastermind.
Yeah, and I'll bet the I'm not the only one feeling this reaction is actually a relief to people.
You know, what's interesting is I learned that expression. I used to be in the franchise business years ago, and as a franchisor, you know, you host a big event somewhere, and we're based out of Philly, so we would always have our events in like February. We'd go to a warm place and bring your franchisees down and have some speakers and some seminars and do fun stuff. But I remember my very first franchise conference as a newly appointed director of franchising, and I remember I walked into the men's room on a break, and I heard two guys talking. We had just got done with this big session, and one of them says, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not alone." And the other one said, "Yeah, I'm glad to know, you know, there's some problems that I don't have." So it was this whole feeling of community and people all kind of wanting to pull together and share and help each other out for the common good, if that doesn't sound too cliche-ish.
Yeah. Jim, do you find that there's anything counterintuitive about a community-based or peer support system versus other kinds of help that entrepreneurs get?
Yeah, and here's where I go off the rails a little bit, and people sometimes get mad at me, but I'm hopelessly candid, if nothing else. I think when you're in a peer-to-peer type of arrangement, or you have an accountability group and things like that, I think, you know, by and large, that might make you feel better. We all want to be part of community. As I said, sometimes it's lonely, so you get together once a month with one or two or four people at Panera Bread and you share what's going on. In the end, if nobody's got skin in the game, you know, there's always going to be something that will make it more important that you can't make that meeting. And if you don't get something done that you told everybody you're going to get done, well, that's okay. I mean, look, we all got kids or this other thing, try harder next month, blah, 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 blah. And that's why people can't get to six figures or mid six figures or seven figures, is because nobody's pushing them. Nobody's holding them to account. Call it like the Mr. T syndrome. Nobody's getting in their face and really making sure they hit their objectives. And that's really the benefit of being in a paid mastermind. And for my sake, it's a paid mastermind with an experienced coach that actually runs it.
Yeah. Let's talk about that actually, because I know that many people are reluctant to invest in a paid mastermind. They think, well, I can get together, just like you said, I can get together at Panera Bread once a month with a couple of colleagues, and we can talk about these things, and we can help one another solve our problems. Why do we need to have skin in the game, and why do we need to have a paid coach or facilitator to guide us?
You know, in society in general, in industries, in different niches, things like that, you're always going to have this great spread of different levels of success, income, however you want to measure it. You know, we just got done with an election last year, so you always hear this, the top 1% or the top 5% or 10%, something like that. Those people that are in the top 1%, by and large, are business owners, but those people that make it to the top 1%, the high income earners, those are people that are, first of all, willing to do the things that other people are not willing to do, but they're also willing, as I like to say, to take those chips, put them all together, or push them into the center of the table and make a big bet on themselves to win big. One of the entrepreneurs I like to talk about at my event is Fred Smith, who started Federal Express. And, you know, I talk about the different levels of risk. It was another chapter in my book, Decide, you mentioned, David. And one of the things I talk about is there's a savings account entrepreneur, which is somebody who's just going to put an initial investment in their business. And if I grow and make some sales, I'll use my cash flow and I'll just keep going from there. You're going to be in business forever if very slow or small scale, if that. Then there's the stock market. So there's a little bit more of an assumed risk, right? But with risk comes the potential for reward. And then I say you have a casino entrepreneur, somebody who is willing to bet big on themselves. So when Fred started Federal Express in the late 70s, I mean, my gosh, I'm not sure how old you are, but I'm pretty sure you're close to my age. Or you remember the Iranian oil embargo and gas lines and double-digit interest rates. I mean, it was a messy time.
And very scary. And yes, I do remember very well.
And Fred didn't just try to prove his overnight letter at the time, no packages, his overnight letter delivery system by getting some used Cessna planes and flying around, you know, Tennessee, Arkansas, and Kentucky. He invested in multiple DC-9 jets, hired pilots, co-pilots, ground crews, delivery vans, all the things that he needed. And he launched in many, many major cities, lost millions upon millions of dollars, which meant he had to keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. Most people can't stomach that. So, you know, David, when you hear, like I do, that 80% of small businesses fail within 5 years, the first question, if you want to do like a post-mortem, is it says they ran out of money. And I say that's probably true, but if you peel the onion back even one or two more layers, they ran out of money because they ran out of courage, or they ran out of guts because they didn't want to keep putting more skin in the game. People who think you're going to grow a successful business, which in my opinion is one that's going to give you financial freedom and time freedom, if you think you can do that without risking and things like that, then yeah. You won't make it to the top 1%. I'm sorry. I don't know what I have for lunch, but I feel a little bit harsh in my tone today.
That's okay. But Jim, how does that tie back to investing in a paid mastermind?
Because this, you know, when I started my business in October 2001, my first business, I grew to multiple six figures within 5 years, and suddenly I was hitting a plateau. We'll use your theme here. And the only way for me to get any farther was to start getting some help for why is this happening? I mean, I felt pretty good. I was doing about $300,000 a year, you know, all on my own, but I really wanted to get to a seven-figure business. And I was certainly familiar with the concept of masterminding. There was one in my around here, it was $400 a month. And even though I was doing fairly well, you know, there's an expression, gross is for vanity, nets for sanity. I didn't really have the cash flow, extra cash flow to say, yeah, I'm going to invest $400. And I thought about it for a good 6 months. And then somebody, a mentor, one of the early mentors of mine, he said, you know, let me ask you a question. Suppose you get into this group and there's like eight people in it. And most, he goes, just for you know what and giggles, he said, let's say you're not the smartest one there, and one or two people give you an idea that you're able to spin up and generate another even $20,000 or $30,000. Would it then be worth the $4,800 investment? Well, of course it would. Then take the shot. And what he pointed out to me, David, was that he goes, Jim, you've got the drive, you've got the work ethic, the ambition, you've got a phenomenal idea, you've got a product that everybody should want, or at least they need. You just need some more ideas that aren't coming to you. So for heaven's sakes, get your business up to the next level. And I said, what about the money? He goes, the money will come. He said, when you started your business, I know you went and bought a new computer and you bought business cards and you bought a desk and all this other stuff. Why'd you put that money out? Why was it okay to do that? And then he goes, did you buy your house with cash? I said, of course not. Well, why were you willing to borrow money for that? So it really comes down to, why are you willing to borrow money and invest in yourself but not your business?
Yeah. So are you saying that you're basically making an investment in new ideas and emotional support?
Well, that's part of it. What makes my business, you know, my coaching business so successful is we have a program called VIP. We completely do everything. I mean, when I talk about the $1 million platform, my team and I, we actually create the websites, the info products, the books. We write the autoresponders. We write copy. We do everything that holds people back, because I learned this my first 3 years of coaching. I mean, I was given ideas and support. I'm saying, this is what you need to do. This is how we're going to brand you. This is how we're going to position you in the marketplace. And then I'm like, how come they're not doing it? Well, obviously, because they're wearing a lot of hats and they're taking care of immediate business, putting out fires every day. That's when I created the VIP program, honestly, because what holds people back is not necessarily desire, but it's the way to do it and the will to do it. And so most of the people that have gone through that program, I know for a fact, either borrowed or really, you know, scrimped and saved a way to do it. But it's an investment that's going to pay continuing dividends. You know, I've now worked with two doctors that have doubled the size of their practice. You know, I know you're familiar with my own daughter, who originally I helped create a VA firm so she could be a stay-at-home mom to my grandson. And then she said, hey, I want to have a six-figure business. She quickly, you know, shot past the income she was earning when she quit after she had Nathan. So we helped her create a six-figure business. Then she kept going and going and going. So each time you hit a plateau, there are things. Now, as being pushed by a coach and ideas and branding, that's really what holds a lot of people back, I believe, David.
Mm. And Jim, when do you think it's good to seek a one-on-one coach versus seeking a group like a mastermind group?
I think the correct answer is you should be in a mastermind group led by a coach. So if in your question is, should you just be in a mastermind group that's not led by a coach, you know, just kind of peer to peer? Well, that's certainly better than nothing, in my opinion. But, you know, what I think you want to look for, is somebody who has done what it is you say you want to do. I mean, I've created multiple six-figure businesses. I've helped countless people do it for themselves. So if you want to look and hire a coach and someone says, oh, I can help you create a six- or seven-figure business, have they done it for themselves? You know, it seems to me when we get in our car and we're looking to go somewhere, we hit the little button and how can I help you? I need directions. We talk to a phone and we're willing to trust that they know the fastest way, whether it's Siri or somebody else. You're going to trust the directions they give you, right? But when you're in a mastermind and you're working with a coach that's got an actual track record of doing what it is that they say they coach in, that is going to shortcut your path to success. I do believe you can invest in speed. You can most definitely purchase speed. If you want to get somewhere, like wherever you are now, if you want to get to a higher place, more income, more stability and things like that, you can do that. And you can speed up that journey simply by working with somebody and being mentored by them, somebody who has already done what it is that you want to do.
So the internet is a great resource for all kinds of information. It's also a place where lots and lots of offers are being made to speed up the process that you've just described. If you want to get from point A to point B, and point B is maybe higher income, more assets, and greater, more efficient use of your time. There are lots of offers out there to help you do that. How do you find if you're not in something that is supporting you the way you've just described, how do you find the right place? Because there are lots of offers coming at us, and how do you find what's good for you?
Well, success leaves clues, as they say. So again, I think you want to. Yeah, there are a lot of offers out there. I chuckle myself at the 21-year-old who's going to be a life coach and help you how to create significance in your life. When how much have you really lived at 21? I'm only being semi-funny because there are people that do that. And the same thing, you know.
Well, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, Well, you got to do your homework. I mean, you don't buy a car, you don't buy a computer, you don't buy a camera, you don't buy anything without doing homework. How many people go to Amazon and look at the reviews? You know, by the way, if somebody is an author, I mean, I'm putting out my seventh book here in about 3 weeks. Go look at the reviews on Amazon, because everybody that puts out a book is going to get probably 6 or 10 reviews from family members and close friends. They're all going to hit the 5 stars. You want to look for people that have more than say 20 or 25 reviews, and you want to go read the ones that are 1, 2, 3, or 4 stars and see what they say. I mean, one of the greatest books, I will not name it, in the coaching space is done extremely well. But I also know many people who bought it and reviewed it and said, this is nothing but a rehash and a regurgitation of other things that we've all heard in the seminars. There's nothing new and unique here. You started out your question, David, with the power of the internet. The power of the internet gives you unbelievable resources and ways and methods in which to check out the veracity. I'll give you one, and I've used this. You type in, whether it's the name of a product or somebody's name, you type in their name or product and either skip a space or add a comma and then just add the word scam. And you will quickly see if there's any history of this person coming up as a scammer, because there, if there is, there's untold websites that relish in outing people like that. So it's really very easy today. But, you know, the other thing is get on somebody's list, see what kind of information they're putting out. If you want a really low barrier entrance, spend $20 and get a book on Amazon that this person and read the book and see how they feel to you. Do they feel authentic? Is it either new information or is it presented in a different way? You know, if they say I've done this, that, and the thing, go look at their websites and see how many people are following them on social media. There's so many. It's so easy. Like literally within 20 minutes, you can find out if somebody's real or not.
Yeah, no, that's really great advice. Do your homework before you invest money and time.
I certainly did. I mean, when I joined my first mastermind, I really looked into the person leading it, and I looked into the people that were going to be in the group. Years later, when I joined a really high-level mastermind, I actually joined a group that was being led by some people that 3 years previous I was totally looking up to. I mean, these guys were rock stars in the coaching space, and I finally got up the nerve to apply to be in the group. Sometimes we all have head trash. In my head, I thought, man, I'm going to be the dumbest one in there. And some of the most valuable lessons that I have learned as an entrepreneur came out of that experience. So, you know, and I invested a lot of time and I invested money because that group was in California, so that meant me flying out there. But that was a risk. And I'll tell you what, it is a risk that has made me thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Do you think that there are steps that very successful business leaders are taking to get guidance that others aren't?
Do I think there are steps that they're taking? Well, first, as I said, you need to be in a group with an experienced coach. The other thing I would say, there's two things. First of all, you have to get to a place, and it's kind of like the thorn in the lion's paw, David. You have to get to a place where being uncomfortable and being okay with slow to no growth in your business is no longer acceptable. I was at a certain place in my business when I started my coaching program. I already had multiple internet businesses that, you know, were creating different streams of revenue. And 3 years into my coaching program, I was doing okay, but I really wanted to grow a whole lot faster. And that's when I joined that high-level group. And one of the things I realized as a result of being in that group is I had to learn to put my ego aside. And say, I no longer care that it has to be my idea. I only care that I want to create this amazing business. And that's my goal. And if something is going to help me get there, whether it was my idea or not, I am going to do that. I'm not going to take this advice and then say, well, my business is a little different. Let me do this, that, and the other thing. I'll shave off this. I'll only do steps 1, 2, 3. I'm not going to do 5, and I'll do half a 6. None of that. I mean, if I'm looking at somebody and they're saying, this is what I did, and we got the same business, I'm going to do that. And so that's number one, putting your ego aside. And the other thing I would say is stop looking for the short-term ROI. At my last event in Orlando, I had somebody come up to me on a break and said, I really want to join your program, but I don't have the money now. I said, seriously, 80% of the people that join my program say that. And, you know, you've met a lot of them here in the room. And so anyway, but I said, what you really want to think about, and I'm sorry, the following question she asked me is how quickly can I generate another, you know, X? And she named a number in revenue. I said, I won't predict even 10 cents worth of income. But again, you've got like 50 people in this room you can talk to and just see what my track record is. But I won't do that. I said, it'll be immoral and unethical for me to do that. But I said, that's even a short-term thing. I said, if we were to work together for a year, and at the end of that year, your business has grown, you know, significantly, but then even if we were to stop working together, and you keep going years 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 12, and your business continues to grow because of the work we did, wouldn't that initial investment, that even if you do have to borrow it, wouldn't that be worth it? So my second point is people have to get rid of short-term ROI thinking. I kind of blame the microwave oven, believe it or not, because now you can put a meal in the microwave and 30 seconds later, it's not great, but you can eat in 30 seconds, and people expect results quickly and instantly. And the thing that I'm very old school, and I don't care if you're selling a product or a service, every single successful business is built on powerful relationships with customers, clients, or patients. And relationships, no matter how many marketing things you know how to do, no matter how good you are at delivering value and building lists, relationships take time. You're not going to flip on a light switch and suddenly create a 6 or 7 figure business.
Yeah, no, relationships definitely take time, but everybody who comes on my show talks about how valuable their relationships have been to their success.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, one of the things I did, there's a program I talked about called Serve First. And it really has to do with my personal life, but it also has to do with business. You've got to serve first. You've got to deliver some value and put value out there in a big way. I mean, I've been doing weekly videos for 6 years. I've been doing my podcast for 5 years. I do a weekly email newsletter that goes out to about 20,000 small business owners every single week. I'm in blogging. I'm doing social media. I do about 140 interviews like this every single year. I mean, it's an enormous investment of time for the most part with all of those things. But the reason I do that is I'm building relationships with people I don't even know right now. right? And so at a certain point, somebody listening to this program might meet me, might come to an event, might just buy a book or get a free book. I don't know. But then that's going to keep the relationship growing. And eventually, you don't have to do business with 100,000 people. You can create an amazing business with 200 people if you think about it.
Yeah, especially in today's world.
Absolutely.
Jim, who do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
Well, I mentioned my daughter Jessica earlier, so I won't use that one again. There's a female doctor in Canada I've worked with for 3 years. We doubled the size of her practice, and the only way she takes on new patients is by application. So you actually have to apply to be considered to be seen by her. She works 3 days a week now. Just an amazing success story. I'm 18 months into working with a client who didn't have a business when we started. She was just sort of doing part-time grief counseling and was actually doing sessions, like multiple sessions with people for $147 or $197. I said that's at least $997. I thought she was going to faint when I told her that. She just she has done over I forget how many she told me at $997, and coincidentally, as you and I are recording this, she emailed me last week and said, "I just upped my prices to $1,297, still met no resistance." And I said, "Well, that's because there's a great need for what you do, and you're very good at what you do." And I said, "I want you to go to $1,497 next time." And she's like, "What?" And I said, "Look at it this way: if you sell two at $1,497, that's like selling three at $997, and so that's the power of leverage." And and I don't want to just pat myself. I'm not the only smart coach out there, but her reply to me goes, and that's why I invest in coaching, because she's very good at what she does. She knows the deliverable, the actual service better than anybody, but she needed somebody to help her develop the brand and now to keep pushing her with price elasticity and other things.
Yeah, those are great examples. So Jim, what's coming up for you in the near future? What are you working on now?
So my seventh book is called Just Say Yes. That's coming out May 15th. We're hot and heavy getting all set up for the launch. I've been through about 15 rounds of edits. I'm getting tired of the book, to be honest with you. But it's a great book. And honestly, David, real briefly, my wife Stephanie and I are going through a major – I guess you could say we hit a plateau, because we raised four kids, we got three grandkids, we've lived in the same house for 28 years, and we said, well, what's next for us? What's the next plateau, if you will? And we sold our house, gave some of our furniture to the kids, put the rest in storage, and we bought a 50-foot yacht, and we're going to kind of travel up and down the East Coast, living and working aboard our boat. And if anybody's curious about that, we started a blog called OurFloatingHome.com. OurFloatingHome.com. You can see the boat, and we've got about a dozen blog posts, because it's been winter. We bought the boat in December, but we're moving on board in a couple weeks, and we're going to detail our entire journey going up through New York past the Statue of Liberty. We are going to spend our first summer in Rhode Island near my daughter Jessica, who I keep mentioning, and our two grandkids, and then we'll go to Florida in the fall. So That is a big deal for us.
That's a huge deal. Well, congratulations for taking this on, and thank you for your willingness to share it with the world, share the information about your journey.
Absolutely. You know what prevents more people from just saying yes, and not just on doing something big like that, but even in business, and that's why I wrote the book, is this whole journey for us started a year ago as you and I are talking. My wife Stephanie, who was still working at her job at the time and was considering retiring, she said, we ought to go on a big adventure. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Are we going to go to like some, I don't know, camp? I don't know what we're going to do. And she goes, she started naming, what if we go live in the Caribbean for a year? Just a year. I'd miss the grandkids like crazy. Anyway, the long and short of it is we came around to let's live in a boat. So we did all the research and, you know, look for just the right boat. And we sold the house, and we sold that ourselves, which is pretty cool. Just used some of my marketing and made that happen. But David, when you do something like this, there's something that kicks in, and it's called the what if factor. And the what if factor, your mind starts going crazy with, well, what if this? What if I run aground? What if I run out of gas? What if we sink? What if this? What if I don't have internet? on a Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday, and I can't do my coaching calls? What if this? What if that? You know, all the what ifs. And that holds probably the lion's share of our general population back. But, you know, when it comes down to it, what if you just say yes and you figure it out as you go? I'm a real big fan. I didn't create this expression, but I've heard it's like just jump and sprout your wings on the way down. People that are creating businesses, one of the reasons they sit at a plateau, because every business owner reaches plateaus, probably many of them, but one of the reasons that they hold that holds people back and they stay at the plateau is they're playing the what ifs. Well, I know I want to jump like five steps that way, but what if I go there and my current clients don't follow me? What if I raise my prices? What if I do this? And the what if game drives them crazy. And you ultimately have to say to yourself, or this is what the top one or maybe the top 10% actually do. They just say yes and they figure it out every day. Some problem comes up, they solve it. Some opportunity comes up, they debate it and say yes or no and keep moving forward. But what if you do say yes and you have an amazing, amazing adventure? That's why we said yes to this, because we will figure it out. I've never driven a 50-foot boat before, but we practiced this weekend. And you'll figure it out, Jim. We'll just figure it out. I did bump into a pylon putting it back, and I'll have to get that buffed out. But you know what? Nobody got hurt. But we are truly going to have – I mean, actually, at our age, the smart and prudent thing to do would be to just downsize our home, go into a townhouse, take the rest of the money, put it in a 401k, do everything. But no. I mean, financially, the last thing in the world you want to do is buy a boat. That is the least reasonable thing to do. But you know what? We just said yes, because when we're old and brittle and just looking at our life, we're going to say, holy crap, look what we did.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But Jim, how can listeners follow you in addition to your blog about what you're up to with the boat?
Yep. So my business blog is getjimpalmer.com, www.getjimpalmer.com. We've mentioned my book Decide a couple times, Dave. It's my current book that'll soon be replaced. But if people want to get a free copy of Decide, the Ultimate Success Trigger, they can go to decideforsuccessbook.com, decideforsuccessbook.com. And if they'll just pay $6.95 shipping and handling, my team and I will ship about a 200-page paperback, and it's a lot of the head trash. So if you've got head trash, if you're playing what if you're sitting on a plateau and can't figure out how to get out of it, you're gonna love this book.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Jim. It's been great having you on today, talking in particular about why it's so important to invest in yourself. And when you do that, and you do, and you're willing to jump first and figure out how to fly later, your life will be a whole lot more interesting than if you just sit and agonize over the what-ifs.
That's my pleasure. David, thanks for having me on.
Great having you on. My guest today has been the dream business coach, Jim Palmer. Thank you again, Jim, for joining us.
You got it, David. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.